everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Countess. Please come and find a seat if you haven't yet. Come and settle in. My name is Susan. It's lovely to have you all here this lovely late spring morning. Glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Lord. We see your glory, and we pray and we look for it to rise that all may see. And we shout your name above all names. We praise you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are great, that you are approachable, that you love us, you care for us. I thank you at this time for our brother William, after his long stay in the hospital. You've answered prayer and you've brought him back. Continue to strengthen him, Lord, as we pray today and throughout the week for him and other members of our church family. I need your prayers for their health and strength. We lift them up to you, Lord. I'm now reading our scripture, which is from Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the sound of their voices, and at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Almighty, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Satt and all the preparation that he has done. May he speak the very oracles of God to us. Bless him, strengthen him, and fill him with Holy Spirit wisdom. Amen.
Thank you. Throughout this week, there was one song, I don't know if you ever heard Petra Praise. It's a very old group, and they made a song on this passage. And That song came to my mind throughout the week. I know I don't need this much, but I'll still put it on. Talking about special things that Louis mentioned about the vacuum cleaner, I would like to mention that she took that out on Thursday. Why? Because we were having open homes at her house on Friday, and I must tell you, it was not that good. Well, I'm just trying to say this because if you have missed it, then you should not feel bad. But I think I would be wrong to say that, because all those who were there would completely agree with me that I'm not
trying to exaggerate things here, but we had a great time being there. And as I've said in the church last week, is it working now?
Yeah, thank you. As I said in the church last week, it's a very free time for us to come and spend time. And the good news is, if you think, oh, we have missed this, don't worry. We have another one coming in month of May. 30th of May, that's the Friday at 6 o'clock. We have another open house, which is happening at Brian's and Anne's house. So if you can wave your hands, yay! So they are Brian and Anne. If you don't know who they are, get their address, be there, come when you can, leave when you want to. It's all a time to come together. This morning, we are starting a new sermon series. And the title of a sermon series is... Can I have the picture image that I just added? Thank you. The title of a sermon series is...
One God.
One God, hope in the middle of our story. Now, we are also using a resource which is out there, which we would like to encourage church family to take and read, which is based on Isaiah chapter 63 of from this book. And we would be using that in our whole church cafe that we would be having on 11th of May. As you might have seen during the notices, it's a time where we come here, spend some time, 15-20 minutes, then go out in different cafes and just connect with one another and discuss a few things. And then maybe come back for tea and coffee here, have some more coffee and tea, and tell us how was your time together. But then, as I would call it, it's being a church outside the church. Going out there and letting people know that, yes, we Christians are here, and we are here for them. But when we started, you know, and this sermon series is not one man's job, let me tell you. We have a team of people who pray, who think about, who spend time in prayers, to come up with a sermon series. So it's not, don't ever think that SAT does it all. No, I don't do, I'm the lazy minister. Please remember that. I love my cup of tea and my chair. So we have a lovely team of people, which includes Lizzie, Rachel, Imad, Helen, and myself. And we take time to pray and prepare for the sermon series and asking God, what should we be focusing next? So therefore, when we started exploring the question, we focused on the book of Isaiah, but then when we open book of Isaiah, as we all know, it's a huge book. And to fit that book in a term, we thought, what book would be the right approach of dealing with this book? Now, then we thought one of the strongest themes of the book is our God. And let's focus on that theme. Let's understand how God reacted, how God was present in the history that was unfolding in the book of Isaiah. Now, one thing we need to remind, there are two things I would like to remind the whole church all the time during this sermon series. The image that is at the background, it's a very carefully, thoughtfully chosen image. Because one thing we need to understand, that Bible is the layered book. The whole book of Bible is layered. You know, we have a history section. Which is the last book in the history section? We have the Bible, or the Old Testament, is divided in three major sections. We have history, we have what you would call a poetic section, that's where Job starts, and Psalms and all those books are poetries. And then we have what we call prophetic books, right? So, history is the base layer of the cake. Okay, remember that. And then poetry section comes as a lovely cream. And then prophetic section goes on the top. So Bible is unfolding in layers. And all these prophetic books and the books of poetry that we read are happening parallel to this book of histories that we read. And the book of Isaiah is happening when First King and when Kings and Chronicles was written. So much so that when Isaiah stands and reminds one of the kings of in chapter 8, which we are not dealing today, but then in chapter 8, when he goes to King and reminds him of the Assyrian invasion. You know the verse of Zechariah when he says, not by might, not by power, but by the strength of the Lord? Zechariah is also very much present in that event. And if you read book of Zechariah, you would see Zechariah present. So all these prophets that we see and all this history that we see in the Bible is layered. It's happening simultaneously. People existed together at that time together. Some certain prophets worked together in a different zones or different kingdoms. How many kingdoms do we have in Bible in the Old Testament? Sorry, a brief of biblical history. How many kingdoms we have in the Old Testament?
Two
kingdoms. We had
Judah.
Quick story, because this is an important history when we understand this context. When we end the book of Genesis, people of Israel were in Egypt. They went there as a visitor. When we open book of Exodus, about 400 years had passed, and the small family that moved to Egypt had turned into a big nation. And that nation God brought, and that they were no more guests, they became slaves. Then God brought them out of slavery. Moses came, Bush happened. God took Moses and said, get my people out. He brought them out, went through the land of Canaan, or wilderness, which was supposed to be 40 days journey, happened to be 40 years because they were like, now we want meat, we don't want this. So then that happened. So they went to the land of Canaan, and God gave them that land. And people of Israel lived faithfully ever after. Only that was a wish. But that never happened. Then we enter book of Judges. And there's one aspect in book of Judges that sets the whole story of people of Israel, because there's one verse that is, or one thing that is repeated, that they did what was not right in the sight of the Lord. And Lord punished them for that. And that is the history of people of Israel in the biblical times. Please don't take any references to the current political situation that's happening there. And then after book of Judges, they said, we want king, we want king. And God said, I'm your king, come on. He said, no, we want physical king. So then we had first king of Israel, that was Saul. Then we had David. And then we had Solomon. And then there was a big problem in the family. And they said, no, we don't want to go with them. So one united kingdom was divided in two kingdoms. One became Israel, nation of Israel, and one became nation of Judah. Just a question. Jerusalem was a capital of which kingdom?
Judah.
It was a capital of Judah, and Samaria became a capital of nation of Israel then. But why am I telling you this story? Because in the midst of all this, even when they said, even when God said, you don't need a king because I'm your king, people said, no, we need a king. And there was a divided kingdom. Most of the kings that people wanted on their nation never led them in the fear of the Lord. There are very, very few kings who led them and brought them closer to God. But these kings became very reason for this nation to walk away from God. And therefore, when we start reading book of Isaiah chapter 1, there is a historical connection there. You know, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1, it says, these are the visions that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah were kings of Judah. And if you read Kings and Chronicles, you will see all these kings there. So this is a very important background, because God was there and they were running away from God, and God reminded them, I am there. And in the midst of all this, Isaiah comes and other prophets comes and tell them, my dear friends, please check your ways. And that's what Isaiah was doing here. Thus far, both these kingdoms were independent. They were still in existence. But one of the things that happens during the book of Isaiah is people of Judah loses their freedom and they go into slavery. And we'll get back to that a bit later, maybe not today. So that's a very important historical background that we need to understand when we deal with the book of Isaiah. Second important thing, when we talk about one God and the theme that we are focusing on, that the God that we are talking, my dear friends, is not up above there, that we are, he's there and we are here. Please note and please remind ourselves that what all different things that we are going to talk about God, we are talking about a God who is where? In here. You know, there are a few scenes in the movies that remind you of a biblical truth. And there's one particular scene in the Lion King movie, the original one, where he goes back to the pond and he has interaction with his father who had passed away by then. And then he tells him that I live in you. So go back with that confidence because I am with you. And my dear friends, that's where that image is. You know, the story of God is intertwined with our own story. And if we take God from our story, we would just be thread according to that image. And that's a very important thing that we must remind ourselves. We would be looking at different aspects of God during this term, in this sermon series. And everything that we see, and every aspect of God that we see, it is a very important thing for us to remember that he lives in
us.
So, coming back to today's passage. Now, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Another important historical context. King Uzziah reigned his people for about 52 years. And that's a long time. Maybe not for us today because we recently saw a longer reigning monarch. And a nation cried together. I had an opportunity to live near the airport where her body was brought. So I ran that evening just to see her body being taken from the airport to the palace. And literally people were standing and clapping right from the North Holt Airport all the way to the Buckingham Palace. And I met a lady there who was there when she was made a queen. So, So Isaiah, when he talks about King Uzziah, right, his timing of telling people of his vision is important because he's establishing a fact again that God wanted them to remind that he is just an earthly king, but I am your king and this is my glory. And therefore this historical aspect of what Isaiah is telling them is really, really important for them. Because they had lost King Uzziah, who was good king, who lived for 52 years. And they thought, oh yes, we're growing really fast. We're becoming a stronger nation. We are being blessed and all that. And that king was gone. And in that time of history, Isaiah reminds them that we have much stronger and powerful king who is Lord up above. Coming to his vision that he saw. My dear friends, God is holy. And that is one fact that we repeat again and again. We remind ourselves again and again. Every now and then we talk, oh, God is holy. But what does being holy means? What is the aspect of holiness that we talk about God being holy and all the aspects of holiness and holies of holies in the Old Testament? But what does it mean to be holy?
Purified by God.
In terms of God. Yes, when we say God is holy, what do we mean by that then?
He's pure.
He's pure.
Absolutely.
He is pure, okay. He is sinless.
He is love.
He is set apart.
All his works are righteous.
All his works are righteous.
Merciful.
Loving.
Kind.
Trusting.
Trustworthy,
yeah. And I'll tell you what, all these answers are right. And the list can go on and on and on and on and on. Because all these aspects that we see and experience of God are part of His holiness. Now, basically, the word holy means set apart, as Graham said. And it was a very common term that was used in the biblical times, as it is very common. But then the understanding of the word has changed for us than what was the original or actual understanding then. Now, basically, set apart for a specific purpose is the basic meaning of the word holy. And when we say God is holy, it does not mean that He has been set apart for a specific purpose, but He is the one who sets the purpose of why things are set apart. Now, when people of Israel developed their relationship with the Lord, and then when He met Moses on Mount Sinai in the burning bush, and He said, "I am who I am," and all that interaction that happened, and then He brought people of Israel and gave them all the rules and laws and everything. We see in the book of Leviticus, it's an interesting book, I like that, because God was very precise in that, and I like His precisions and in terms of instructions. What He was doing, He was telling people of Israel that, see, I am holy because I am completely different. I am completely set apart from anybody and everybody from this world, because who I am has no comparison to who the humans are or if who everybody else is. I am completely different because I am pure. I am complete in all its sense. So when you talk about love, He is complete in that sense. When we talk about Him being faithful, He is complete in that way. When we talk about Him being caring, He is complete in that way. So there is no fault in Him. He is complete in all its senses. When we talk about any aspect of God, He is complete. One of the aspects that we don't talk about when we talk about God, because we like to attach all good things, He is a God who loves discipline. He is a God who is also angry God. He is a God who also judges us on our behavior. And sometimes we just put a blanket, oh, He's all loving God, but He doesn't accept our lives the way it is. We can start a relationship with Him the way we are, but our relationship with Him helps us to turn back from things and to stop doing things that are not right. But then that's God. He is... This cable is troubling me today. No, sorry. But that's what God is. He is pure, without any blame. And therefore, His very being sets Him apart from everything else that is there in this world. And that's why when we talk about set apart, and when we talk about set apart for God, it denotes that being someone who is complete in all His being. And that is a very basic meaning of being holy. Being holy is a very, very small term. You know, I cannot really give a lot of information about what does it mean to be holy. It's just being set apart for God. But that concept of God being holy has a huge, huge, is a huge, huge reality for you and for me. Now, when people of Israel, when this term was used for people of Israel, that God is a holy God, it meant, that you are holy people, it meant that you are set apart for what? for God. So he is the one that you have to follow. That he is the one that your life should reflect. And therefore, when we read the book of Leviticus, God was so precious because God wanted them to understand what it means to be his people. I really think at times, if you have lived a life in the Old Testament times, it would have been so much difficult for us. So many instructions. Do this way, do that way. Even your clothes should be like this. The sacrifice that you bring has to be followed a particular procedure. And all that stuff, all those things. But we are set apart for the purpose to live a life that reflects God. And I'm not using the word honor God, I'm using the word reflects God. You know, when we live our life knowing that we are his people, we become the doorway for people to know and meet God through our lives. And therefore, when we talk about God being holy, it is living a life and knowing that I am following a God who is fully complete in his being. He is full of love, he is full of grace, he is full of mercy, and he is full of desire for his people to love and follow him. And therefore, whenever people of Israel had a moment in their life, which they had plenty, where they left God and walked on in their own ways, God was like tapping on their shoulder, come back to me, come back to me. I'm your God, I'm your King. I really want you to be in my fellowship. Because that was his love. But with that love also came a discipline. And that's where we see in the book of prophets that God called them, God showed them their love, God showed them their concern, but God also said, sorry, you just need a bit of reminder. And that's where his judgment and punishment comes into the play. My dear friends, we don't follow God's command to become holy. We follow his commands because we are holy. When we say that we are set apart, that puts a title of being holy on us. It is a beginning of a journey to become holy. To start a journey to become more and more and more like him. But holiness doesn't denote a status. Sometimes, or many times in church, we kind of make that a status. Oh, he's holy, or they are holy, or she is holy, or just because they're doing it. No. It is a relationship with the Lord. And when we talk about one God, that God is holy. And that God lives in us. And when we talk about this God in the book of Isaiah, you know, Isaiah reminded them, you know, we were doing come and read on Friday. Oh, that's another opportunity that's happening in Little Port soon. We were doing come and read in Sutton on Friday, and we read first 10 chapters. Even in those 10 chapters, you would see all ups and downs, Lord's anger, Lord's love, Lord's concern for his people, Lord's call to his people, please come back. And even in there, God talks about the sign of Emmanuel. My dear friends, our God is holy God, who is complete in who he is. And that God lives in us. We reflect that God in and through our life. You know, Isaiah in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, "Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." You know, the very fact that I have seen God brought to Isaiah's attention of all the wrong things that are there in his life. You know, when we grow up, when we are maybe teens or just before teens, we like to have some role models. Maybe role models can range from a footballer, a cricketer for us, a movie star, or a politician if you are interested in that. And you often, you know, people like to match with them, the way they clothe, the way they walk, the way they talk, you know, and they do anything and everything to follow that. And if ever they come across their role model or idol, as we would call it, he'll be like, "Oh, but my hair are not like looking like him or looking like her, or my dress is not appropriate like that." And you try to match it up because that person is such a great in your own eyes. And that is what exactly is happening with Isaiah. He knows who his God is, and therefore then when he knows that he is in his presence, he's like, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips," because I can see in his completeness that how many things or how I lack things in my life, that how my life is full of things that cannot be in his presence. If you like cleaning, which Sheba likes, and if I finish my work in the garden, and if I open the door, I would get first warning: your clothes and your shoes, keep them out. You cannot. And Isaiah saw God, and he knew that my life, the way I am, is not in the right place to be in God's presence. And that is a very fact even for us this morning, my friends. None of our lives, the way we live, the way we are, is worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. And yet, where does God live? In us. Yes, that's a brilliant music. God lives in us. But how and why? You know, as I said in the beginning, there's a song by a rock band, Petra Praise. And it's a brilliant song. And they sing that song, "Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am." And that's what happens. For Isaiah, it was a coal that was touched on his lips and that made him, that gave him that strength and that made him stand in God's presence. I would not say all right with God, because he still lived as a human. For us, it is Christ who came and opened that doorway for us to be in the presence of the Lord. We spoke about the curtain of temple being torn, because that presence of God was not then limited just to that place, because God's presence became everywhere. And when the Holy Spirit came upon his disciples, Holy Spirit came upon us, we became that temple. We became that holies of holies. We became the place where God lives. My dear friend, people of Israel had this God with them, and yet they did things that did not bring honor and glory to God. We have this God. The same God who created the world, same God who defeated the superpowers then, same God who protected and cared for his people. He cares for you and for me. And he is holy God. What is our response to that this morning? How does that shape our life this morning. As we go through this sermon series, and as we talk about one God, hope in the middle of our story, what does that tell us? What is that you're asking God when we hear this truth that God is holy? You're like, fine, he's holy, doesn't make much difference. Good reminder, let me live my life. Or are we like Isaiah this morning saying, God, I'm a man of unclean lips, because my life has so many things that are not worthy, that doesn't make me worthy to be in your presence. So God, please help me. And he is willing and happy to strengthen us, to lead us, to be and live our life in his presence and reflect him in and through our lives. I would just like to give you 2 minutes of silence as we pray. And I would like to request you, whatever comes to your mind, just pray quietly. If there's anything specific area of our life that comes to our mind when we talk about Isaiah and him being so afraid of being in God's presence, pray for that. If there are any habits in our life, if there is any attitude, if there's any characteristics of our life that we think, oh, that should not be there, pray for that. Use this time to be praying to God and committing and asking him to help us. Lord, we want to thank you because you have set us apart. Lord, we thank you because you have sent your Son to open ways for us so that we can be in your presence and we can become your very presence in this world, Lord. And yet, Lord, there are things in our lives that doesn't reflect your presence when we live our life in this world. Lord, if there are things that we have been reminded of this morning, Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, not to just walk out of this door and get busy with our lives, Lord, but we just pray that you help us, Lord, to be reminded of them so that we would take those things away from our lives and live our life that would reflect you in and through our lives, Lord. Lord, if there are people that we can think of, help us, Lord, to reach out to them and help them as well, Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn from this history of people of Israel, to see that how much you have loved them, to know that how much you love us, and live a life, Lord, that would bring glory and honor to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, and strengthen us to live our life so that we would live a life of holiness, reflecting you through our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My dear friends, if you are here this morning and if you have heard and something touched your heart, we are here to pray for you. If you're here this morning and you're like, oh, I could not really focus because there are so many things happening in my life and I really don't know what to do about them, we are still here for you. If you want someone to be praying for you, someone to spend time with you, please do get in touch and we'd be really glad to do that. May God bless you all. Susan.
Right. I'm going to invite the music team up. I'll just add to the prayer, Lord, I thank you also for the offerings that have been received today and that are received each week through our banking deposits, etc. And we pray, Lord, that you will use them to build your kingdom through us. Thank you, Lord. And we, Lord, we ask that you will bless us as you strengthen us as a church family. And Lord, we pray for ministry opportunities. There are many in Ely, but give us those openings, Lord, to bring your love to other people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. And may we see, Lord, that blessing as we work for you this week.